If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi.
We're continuing to bring you testimony from the Take Care of Maya trial. Right now, we are actually hearing testimony directly from Maya Kowalski in this next segment from the courtroom. Maya talks about the most painful disease in the world and how it changed her life. Let's take a listen.
Here we are in September of 2015, you're in a wheelchair. What if any other signs of or symptoms of CRPS did you note at this time?
At this time, I was twitching. I had the allodynia, dystonia, lesions. There was the temperature changes in my limbs that we started to notice.
Tell the jury about the temperature changes. Why is this any different than just, you know, being chilly or being too hot or too cold, turn up the air conditioning or down the air conditioning?
Because it happens at random times and it's not influenced by external temperature. It's all internally happening. And then another thing that was weird that started happening is I would sweat in different areas, but not all over my body.
What areas, if you recall?
The back of my neck, and then lower back. I don't remember all of them, but those are the two that I specifically remember.
And were these dependent on whether you were cold or the exterior temperatures at all?
No, they were not dependent on the external environment.
Well, what else? Anything with the ears or eyes?
I did have tinnitus, which is just ringing in the ears, which I've never had before. And then with my eyesight at this point, it was okay.
All right. And, okay, so your eyes are all right. So, through this period of time, did you get to see Dr. Wassenauer?
Yes, I did.
And he couldn't figure out what was wrong yet either?
No.
All right. So then did there come a time when somebody did know what was wrong with you?
Yes.
All right. If we could publish a video of 2666, and then you'll tell us if about this in a moment.
That doesn't feel good when I touch your legs, right? Or your tummy, when I touch your tummy, that feels good, right?
Were you in distress there?
Yes.
Was that the kind of reaction you would get sometimes when people would touch your legs?
Yes, it's just from the allodynia.
All right, so the jury wants to know, if you have this effect when someone touches your legs, how are you able to deal with blankets being pulled over, clothes being put on, any of the usual things you do if you have this reaction?
A common misconception with CRPS is that all of the symptoms from the beginning to whenever you have it, they're constant, and then they stay that way. But in reality, symptoms can change on a day-to-day basis.
So sometimes you, like we saw in the video, you'd have the blankets off of you and sometimes on?
Yes.
Depending on the day?
Correct.
Was this frustrating?
It was. Yeah. It was annoying to constantly have to tell people to help you with certain things, especially with the temperature changes, because you want to be comfortable, and here you're asking people to change either this thermostat or help you with blankets or help you change into something else, and you know you can't do it for yourself, so you just feel like an inconvenience.
Yeah, have you always been a pretty independent person?
Oh, yes.
Did your mom want you to be that way, independent, able to handle things on your own?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know how, just if you know, you got to Dr. Kirkpatrick from the prior doctors you'd seen?
I do know the story.
Okay. Tell the jury how you ended up at Dr. Kirkpatrick's, and then we'll show, I think we can bring up a photo, 2529-42, and if you could just tell them what happened, how you got there.
Yes, so my mom was an infusion nurse during this entire time, and while I was at Tampa General, Bonnie Rice, the nurse I told you about earlier, she had a phone conversation with my mom, and that's when Bonnie said that she thinks that I was making up my condition. My mom told her, no, there's no way. My mom listed all the symptoms I was having and said, how can she be faking these? My mom went back into the room to treat her patient, and he said, I'm sorry, you know.
I respectfully object to the hearsay.
What did she say next?
Objection to the hearsay.
What did, who said next?
What did, try it. When, how did you know that Dr. Kirkpatrick might have some answers without telling us what somebody told you?
I know from the person who told us. I mean, that's how we found him.
Oh, sure.
So,
who suggested it?
It was the patient of my mom, Dave, because he has a daughter with CRPS.
So a dad of another girl that had CRPS?
Yes.
Suggested?
Correct.
So you went in and saw Dr. Kirkpatrick?
Yes.
And tell the jury what he did in order to determine what was going on.
He had a very lengthy examination of me, and it included multiple different tests, and he took all the data, and then he said that my symptoms and my condition aligns with CRPS.
Did he explain about the Budapest criteria?
He did.
And so what types of symptoms did you show in front of him, if you recall?
I believe he did a temperature test of my extremities. He noted certain lesions I had. You could see one on my right arm. And then I had extreme sensitivity to light. It's just with CRPS, the nerves are hypersensitive. I also had dystonia at the time. I believe at that appointment, there was no no signs of sweating, abnormal sweating, but again, that's just, every day is different.
What's up with the sunglasses? Why the sunglasses?
I was sensitive to light, and that's just because the nerves in CRPS patients are hypersensitive. Mm-hmm. And then another, obviously, the big giveaway that I had CRPS was the burning pain.
And the feet turning in there, that's the dystonia he noted?
Yes.
And about how long did he have you over there to examine you?
It was quite a few hours. It wasn't like in and out like other doctors' offices.
Mm-hmm. And did Dr. Kirkpatrick keep you in the mix about what he was doing and why?
Yes, he always told me what he was going to be doing, the certain tests. He asked me if I was comfortable, uncomfortable. He listened to me.
All right, now this photograph is dated, I think, down there in the bottom left. It's October 5th, 2015. Had you seen him before this visit?
I'm not sure what day I saw him, but I know that he had an examination of me, and then the next time I went in after trying pool therapy, we tried out the ketamine infusion.
Okay, so important to know, did Dr. K immediately go to ketamine or did he have another therapy he thought might work?
No, he wanted me to try the non-medicated route first, which we did.
Mm-hmm. And what was that non-medicated route?
It was warm water therapy. My dad had bought a system to heat our pool. So I think like 10 out of 12 months of the year it's warm. Mm-hmm. So I was able to practice my therapy in there and try to gain some strength.
And did you try hard at that?
Yes.
How'd it do?
It helped a little bit, but it was not the improvement that Dr. Kirkpatrick was hoping for, or any of us were hoping for. So he decided it would be best to try the ketamine infusion.
In terms of physical therapy now, well, let's talk about what you had already been through at the different places, at Tampa General and so forth. Had you had physical therapy so far?
Yes.
By this point? Had you had, occupational therapy, upper body stuff?
Yes.
And had you had some psychological evaluations?
Yes, I had counseling.
And did you then have warm water therapy?
Yes.
And what kind of meds had they put you on up to this point of the ketamine? What were you taking?
I'm going to be honest. I was, again, like really young, so I didn't ask what medication I was taking. But it's my understanding I did try some prescribed opioids from my doctors.
Remember anything about whether they worked or not?
They didn't.
All right. So, you'd been through physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychotherapy, warm water therapy, opioids. Now you were trying ketamine?
Yes.
Tell the jury how that went.
The ketamine infusion?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So have we put in 252942? Is that already up? All right. Let's go ahead and explain what...
So the ketamine infusions were very different than anything I had tried previously. It's this like really small room with a bunch of different equipment and then a nice soft bed. And then super adjacent to the bed is like a little TV so the patients can watch whatever they want while they're getting the infusion. I slept for most of it, so I don't really know the duration of the whole treatment, but I know it was over the course of a few days.
Well, you said you slept during most of it. How were you sleeping at night at this point?
Oh, I was not sleeping. It's very difficult to sleep when, you know, you're having excruciating pain and pain that you've never felt before.
And so, even with your high pain tolerance, describe for the jury as best you can so they can understand what it's like, the CPR, CRPS pain.
How I describe it to people who don't have CRPS, it's like I was born with gasoline deep within my body, and some incident, whether it was that sprained ankle or the severe asthma attack, was like a match and acted as a catalyst that just set my body on fire, and I have to live with this burning pain.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so how many of these, strike that, during the time at TGH, did you also have physical appliances applied to your legs and ankles to see if that would straighten out some of your symptoms?
Unfortunately, yes.
Tell the jury about those, in addition to physical therapy, occupational therapy, psychotherapy, warm water therapy, opioids.
So with CRPS, you have to be very careful with the type of therapies that you provide. And with physical therapy, you have to be especially gentle. Now, I was put into an intensive physical therapy program. And again, at the time, we didn't know I had CRPS. So we didn't know that it was actually doing more damage than good. One of the doctors noticed that my dystonia was getting extremely severe as my stay went on. He suggested that he breaks my feet, have a corrective surgery to straighten them out.
Let's publish 2529-35.
And that was Dr. Kornberg. I remember his name.
Okay. All right. So are those the corrective boots you wore?
Yes. So this was like part one of his plan. He wanted to see if the boots would straighten my feet out, and if it didn't, he was going to resort immediately to surgery.
Now, I can't quite see your mouth there, but what are you feeling there in that facial gesture?
Forcing my feet to immediately go from, completely turned in to straight was an awful idea. It was extremely painful. I remember just crying and crying.
And did your mom want you to try it, though?
She did. She knew it was hurting me, but again, at the time, we didn't know what was going on, so she was just listening to the doctors.
So the jury knows, did your mom ever push you to do any of these treatments, or was this something that you wanted to try, too?
I also wanted to try it because I had my trust invested in the doctors. I thought they knew what they were doing.
Through this entire period of time, were you ever pushed by your parents to continue a therapy that wasn't beneficial or strike that? Were you ever pressured to do any types of therapies or things that maybe you already knew didn't work?
No, if we figured out that it didn't work, they were okay with listening to me and not going on with it.
So, how many of the ketamine therapies do you recall having for this with Dr. K?
So, after Tampa General, I had, I believe, one, like, not like a single treatment, but because it spanned over a couple of days, but itself, it was just like one session, if that makes sense.
Okay. Now, at this point, if you can recall, I think we have a video, I don't know if we'll see it, but can you show the jury about how high you could raise your arm going into all of this? Can you demonstrate about how high you could get it?
Yeah, at Dr. K's, I believe I told you about the examination, and part of his examination was like a physical like range of motion examination. I was only able to lift my hand to about ear level, nothing past that because of the pain.
All right, and so then after that, how did the ketamine therapies do for you, the ones at Dr. K's?
At Dr. Kirkpatrick's office, the ketamine definitely helped. It had helped me more than any of the previous therapies I've tried. So I wanted to stick with that in addition to trying the warm water therapy and continuing going to counseling. But ultimately, Kirkpatrick noticed that his treatments weren't going to get me to where he wanted me to be, so he brought on another doctor.
Okay. And were you continuing the warm water therapies when you were doing the ketamine?
Yes.
How did the ketamine affect your ability to do physical therapy?
Well, obviously I couldn't do it like immediately after. It's a new drug and I did have some side effects. I was a little bit confused coming out of it. But the confusion doesn't last long. By the end of the day, I was talking in my normal self.
But could you do more water physical therapy using the ketamine as without it?
Yes.
And why was that?
It's just because it alleviates my pain. It's, for the first time, something is actually helping lower that burning pain. So I wanted to try even harder in physical therapy.
How did it feel finally having a diagnosis that made sense?
Obviously, the diagnosis itself isn't great, but it's nice knowing what it is so you can develop a course of action to try to tackle it.
Did your mom, best of what you remember, start researching what CRPS was?
Yes. So my mom, she was an infusion nurse, and she's pretty familiar in the medical field. So naturally, she wanted to learn all about it herself.
In terms of the medical analysis, if you will, for you, between your mom and dad, who would take the lead?
My mom did because that was her field of expertise.
Okay. So your mom was kind of your home physician or home nurse?
Sure, yeah.
And she was teaching you Polish?
Mm-hmm.
And would she take you to different events and places, drive you places?
Yes.
And was she helping you with your piano?
Yes.
And was she helping you through ballet?
Yes.
Okay. Did you have a good relationship with your mom through this?
Yes, I always did.
How about the fact that she wanted you to try some of these therapies that were hurting you? Did that harm the relationship? Or?
No, it didn't. Because, again, you have to remember, at this before we went to Dr. Kirkpatrick, we didn't know what it was. So I think her willingness to try everything was actually a sign of love.
How did your dad react to finally hearing that this was CRPS? I mean, mixed? Or?
I mean, no parent wants their kid to have like a chronic illness. So they were sad, but I think at the same time, they were just happy to hear a definite answer.
And how do they react to you telling them that after these ketamine infusions that it helped?
They were so happy to know that, you know, something was helping. Finally, like one thing we try is actually doing something for me.
And up to this point, when could they do anything for you when you would have, when the pain would be at its worst? Was there anything they could give you or do for you that would affect it?
They, before this, no, not at all. I mean, I remember laying in bed and just crying and crying, and I have this memory of my dad. He took my monkey. You'll probably see it in a bunch of pictures, but he would take the hand of the monkey and rub out my forehead until I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm. And were you sleeping, tell us the sleeping arrangement once this got really bad.
Once my pain was to the point where I was just crying and screaming throughout the entire night, the way our house is arranged, first off, is I'm on the opposite side of the house, and then there's my brother's room right across from mine, and then the other side is my parents' room. So I couldn't walk to go and tell them when I needed help going to use the restroom, so we implemented a walkie-talkie system. It sounds silly, but I didn't have a phone at the time. So I would talk back and forth to them so they could help me in the middle of the night.
Could you tell how it was affecting your folks that their little girl was moaning all night in pain?
I try to keep it in as much as possible because...
Did they appear to be under some stress?
Yeah, they were definitely stressed out. And
how about Kyle?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we used to play together all the time.
Mm-hmm. Were you and your brother close?
Yes, we were. Even when we were really little, we had a very good relationship.
It's like you're the big sister?
Yeah.
Okay. How far apart are you two?
We are 18 months. Mm-hmm. Right. And then we do have an older sister as well.
That's right, Corrine?
Yes.
How much older is she?
I think she's 16 years older than me.
Okay. And are you close with her?
Yes.
How was Kyle reacting to hearing his big sister in this kind of pain?
Well, my parents tried to keep him out of the loop when we didn't know what it was because you don't want to worry your other child as well. But obviously he knew something was wrong. I wasn't walking, I wasn't playing, I wasn't laughing as much. I didn't go outside because I couldn't. So I believe he tried his best to distract himself with the neighborhood kids playing football and whatnot. But he was heartbroken.
Yeah. And so for you, was it difficult to see the other kids outside playing and you in the wheelchair?
Yes, very much so. There was actually one day I was invited to the YMCA, which is where I used to do gymnastics. And I was wheelchair bound at the time. And I never went back to watch them because it just ate me up.
Do you want to get out of that wheelchair?
Yes.
All right. So now... We tried this, and how long approximately would Dr. Kirkpatrick's ketamine therapy benefits last? After you stopped, how long would it be before the pain would come back?
I would say, I don't know the exact days. I really didn't keep track as a kid, but I believe like maybe a week and a couple of days, but it just didn't last as long as we hoped. Mm-hmm.
All right, so did he make a referral then to try a different approach?
Yes, he did.
And where did he send you?
He called Dr. Cantu. He's a doctor in Monterrey, Mexico, and I went there.
You remember that?
I do, yes.
Remember the hotel you stayed at?
I do. I remember pretty much everything about the trip except the 5 days when I was sleeping.
Okay. And so... leading up to it now, did you have some conferences with Dr. Cantu about what was going to happen?
Actually, I had a discussion with Dr. Kirkpatrick first. He explained some of the risks associated with the ketamine-induced sedation, the prolonged sedation. And then when I went to Monterey, Mexico, I was then again told about the risks.
And how did it strike you? I know you were only, had you turned 10, I guess, by this point?
Yes, in December.
Yeah, because your birthday is when?
December 10th.
Okay. So what was your reaction, from what you recall on your age at that time, to hearing that there were some possible complications, some possible risks with this procedure?
Well, I was presented with the worst case scenario, which was a 50% chance of death. Even though that's not completely true, they always give you the worst case scenario just in case something bad happens.
Had you heard that with other medications and things?
Yeah, I mean, every medication has like a ton of side effects. But you know it's bad when like a 10-year-old is willing to take that risk. I mean, that's how bad my pain was.
So, the hotel you were staying at, was it fairly close to Dr. Cantu's office?
Yes.
And so then you, at this point, were displaying pretty prominent CRPS symptoms?
Yes.
That's published 2529-58. Record reflect, this is November 18th, 2015 in Mexico. All right. Tell the jury what's going on here. What are these?
These are CRPS lesions.
Mm-hmm. And now, what's the deal between the round one and the one that's a line? Although, if we can we go any closer on that to see?
So, to the naked eye, it kind of looks like a scratch, but in reality, with CRPS, sometimes the lesions do present like that, but they're actually connected.
All right, and so down there, right above the green band, I mean, is that another lesion there right off of it?
Yes.
Okay. And were you seeing more of these?
I was.
And what was your worry? I mean, had you... I realize you were only 10. Have you read up on CRPS?
I personally did not read up on it, but I knew other people who had it.
Tell us how you knew other people who had it.
So there's actually this, well, she used to live in Mexico. Uh-huh. She had CRPS really bad. She had it when she was a kid. Uh-huh. She went into remission for a couple of years, actually, and then she got bit.
I apologize for interrupting, but discussion, I do object to this line of question.
Same.
About her having a friend? May I ask her about the friend?
Let's move on to the next question.
So you had friends down there?
Yeah.
And had it come to your attention from various sources that CRPS could take your life?
Yes.
Had you seen examples of that?
Unfortunately.
Okay. And had you seen examples of it going into remission and then coming back?
Yes.
So let's publish 2529-60. The record reflects this is in Mexico, November 19th, 2015. More examples of lesions, is that right?
Correct.
And where are these?
These are on my ankle.
Do you have any lesions right now?
I do have a few on my leg. My right leg, that is.
All right. So then let's... published 2529-61, looking at symptoms. Now here, although obviously you, were you unconscious at this point in
yes.
this picture?
Yes.
And why is that significant in light of different allegations people were making against you at Johns Hopkins?
Well, because when you're unconscious, you don't really have control over your body movements. So my feet still being in that fixed position, like pointing inwards, shows that I was not making this up.
All right. And so you, knowing about the risk, you and your parents, did you talk about whether you wanted to do this?
Yes. They specifically asked me, and I know I was really young at the time, but they gave me pretty much full authority of whether I was going to go through with the prolonged sedation or not.
Have you always been pretty mature for your age?
Yes.
I mean, at least in these ways, and analysis and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
You were aware of your body and how to take care of yourself.
Yes.
I object to the leading, Your Honor.
Overruled.
All right. So then let's publish 2529-69, and I want you to tell the jury a little bit about your relationship with Dr. Cantu. Is that Dr. Cantu who came and testified here?
Yes. He is so nice. He was, I mean, in addition to Dr. Kirkpatrick, he was one of the very few doctors who really listened to me.
Mm-hmm. And did he speak mostly English to you or Spanish? What?
To us, he spoke English, but when we couldn't really communicate with him because we didn't know Spanish, my friend, the one with CRPS, Jessica, her mom, she spoke both language fluently, so she helped translate certain things for us.
Okay. And did Dr. Cantu tell you about this procedure that you were going to go into?
Yes.
Okay. Now, behind you there is a photograph of another patient, I think, next to you?
Yes.
Was that another CRPS patient?
Yeah, Your Honor, we objection in the HIPAA violation.
There's no, she's not in the picture.
In multiple bases about talking about other
sustained
patients.
All right. So, did Dr. Cantu then go over with you the specifics of how this is going to go and any problems you might have from it?
Yes, he was very in-depth.
And so you underwent the procedure. I want you to tell the jury what the procedure was like.
Well, I met with the team of people who are going to be taking care of me prior to going under. I talked to all of them, and they explained what their role was in my care. So I trusted them, and I understood what they were going to be doing. I was told about the potential side effects, what it might be like when I'm coming out of it. I was explained the risks. I got a full in-depth picture view of what was going to happen.
Now, was your mom aware of other CRPS, either studies or real people, where CRPS had gone into remission and then come back to cause their death?
Yes.
Speculation, Your Honor.
Overruled.
Yes.
All right. So you, how long does the procedure last, this first procedure?
I believe it was 5 days. I think it was 5 or 7. I think it was 5 days of the actual medication of ketamine, but then there was 2 days for me to slowly come out of it.
Mm-hmm. And coming out of it, how were you doing?
I mean, it was a little scary. I had the tube taken out of my throat and I was coughing. I was a little confused about what was happening, but that all went away.
How long did it take for those symptoms, or side effects, if you will, to subside?
I believe it was a day until I felt completely myself, but by the evening I was somewhat okay.
And when you say somewhat okay, you've just been through this procedure. How did you feel, Maya?
Oh, as part of me, physically, I was feeling incredible. I actually asked Dr. Cantu, I'm like, hey, could I try walking? And he told me I couldn't do that because I could potentially, go back to where I was. He said, just baby steps.
So you felt good enough to think you could get out of that wheelchair?
I wanted to try.
Okay. All right. And this procedure was under general anesthesia, is that right?
Correct.
So you were out.
Yes.
So you don't remember anything?
I don't remember anything at all.
Now, did Dr. Cantu recommend that you have a booster soon thereafter?
Yes.
And what did you understand why the booster was necessary?
I know that he had performed this procedure many other times, and it's pretty standard practice for a patient to return and get the booster just to help.
Okay. And that procedure now, was that back completely under, intubated and completely under, or was that like the times you had it at Dr. Kirkpatrick's?
No, it was very similar to Dr. Kirkpatrick's.
So you were not unconscious in any way?
No, no, no.
And about how long do those procedures take?
Those were also a couple of hours. I remember taking a little nap, but again, it's just because of the sleeping problem.
Between the two procedures, did any of the symptoms come back briefly or to the point where you're concerned? Or
I honestly don't remember. I know I was doing very well after the prolonged sedation. I think, again, it's just like pretty standard to get a booster.
Sure. All right. And then you headed home.
Yes.
So how did you do that first 30 days after this long-term ketamine procedure? Tell the jury what happened physically in terms of the pain and all of these symptoms and effects that you had from CRPS.
I felt significantly better. My dystonia was much better. My feet were almost straight on certain days. And just in generally, they were like significantly like better. I mean, just straighter and everything. My pain was much lower. And then my lesions had almost completely healed.
And we'll see some photos on that. Your Honor, I'm going to break into another section. Do you want me to continue on or do you want to?
I think we keep going.
Sure. All right. Returning from Mexico, let's look at 2530-3. And so this is, it looks like,
December 24th, Christmas Eve.
Yes.
2015. So were you out of the wheelchair?
No, I was still in the wheelchair. But if you look at my arm, the lesions are a lot less prevalent. Mm-hmm. And then my feet generally look a lot straighter. There was some dystonia still.
Can we focus in on the feet there?
Okay. All right, there's a couple of black dots there. What are those?
Are those?
Those are just healing lesions.
All right, but they were not active?
No.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I notice you're smiling here. Is that simply because of the Mickey Mouse ears, or are there other reasons?
No, I was just a happier kid in general because my pain was, you know, I had some relief finally. And my mom and my brother were not in Mexico for the booster treatment, so I was happy to see them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's then publish 2530-6 and ask you whether you were getting strong enough to do some energetic playing in the pool.
Most definitely. So at Dr. Kirkpatrick's pre-coma, I said that I could lift my arm like ear level, and now it was above my head. Mm-hmm. And I could handle my brother touching my legs here, and my feet are much straighter.
Mm-hmm. And that's December 28th, almost the end of the year.
Yep.
Okay. Then let's publish 2686, see how you're doing even a week later.
Cute girls. Really cute. Got it.
That, who's that? Was that your friend from Chicago?
Yes. She had come to visit me, and it was perfect timing because I was feeling a lot better than I had been.
Okay. And could you have moved your arms and legs like that before you had the infusions in Mexico?
There are some days where you could see some movement, but nothing like that.
All right. And then published 2530-27. Did the improvements continue for you?
Yes.
All right. And again, I see you're holding up your arms. Could you hold your arms up that high before the Mexico treatments?
No, I could not.
And I noticed your legs there sitting sort of cross-legged. Did you sit cross-legged a lot?
Yeah, that was pretty typical for me. I don't know why, but when I was sitting in that position, there was some difference in my pain. It wasn't as dramatic as I would have liked it to be, but generally, it made my pain less.
Was it the most comfortable position for you on sitting on things?
By far.
Okay. That eased some of the dystonia?
Yes.
All right. So let's then look at how you continue to improve. And did you continue to improve through the spring and summer?
Yes.
Okay, let's publish 2691. And as we're doing it here now, your family likes to scuba dive?
Yes, that's right.
So we can see what's going on now. And what's that on your wrist?
That is a bracelet that my cousin Matthew Klein gifted to me. Mm-hmm. It says, never give up, and that kind of became my motto.
Okay. Okay. All right, and the date on that, let the record reflect, is April 30th, 2016. So you try to spend a lot of time in the pool?
Yes.
To strengthen up?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the idea? And did your dad work with you a lot on the physical therapy?
Yes, kind of my whole family did. That was kind of cool about it because it was also like family bonding time.
Mm-hmm. All right, published 2530-41. And this is May. Now we're into May. Okay. And you got your legs, one leg crossed, sitting on the other. You're able to do that, obviously.
Yes.
And you're obviously capable of eating gummy bears.
Yeah.
All right. And did your brother feel better now seeing you able to do some things with him?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, how did you get around on the floor? Did you have to get up in your wheelchair to move from one spot to the other, or were you able to crawl or what?
I was able to crawl a little bit, but I also used my wheelchair to get from like place to place if it was like longer distances and if the floor wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Another significant thing was I was actually able to push my own wheelchair, so I had some independence in my movements.
Mm-hmm. And was that a happy making thing for you?
Oh yeah, I was extremely happy.
Gave you a little more freedom.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so through the course of the summer there, were you getting stronger and feeling better?
Yes.
All right. Was it always so, or did you have some ups and downs?
Ups and downs, which is kind of expected with CRPS.
All right. And so let's see. I would like to publish. Who back then was your favorite singer?
I loved Meghan Trainor.
Okay, and let's talk about how you were doing in July of 2016. If we'll play the clip, just 3600-47. It's a brief clip from, and you can tell us what you're doing here in a moment. At this point, did you have limited use of? Oh, here we go.
my apologies, counsel. What's the date of this, please?
This is July 28th, 2016. Yes, July 28th. No, let's see. The clip is 26:59 on July 28th, 2016. You're moving pretty good there, Maya.
Yes.
Okay, but still not out of the wheelchair.
No.
Were you hoping to get out of that wheelchair?
Yes, I was on the track to be getting out.
All right. And so when you had some periods where the pain would come back, was it as strong or was it less than what you had experienced before the Mexico infusions?
It was less than what I experienced previous to the prolonged sedation in Mexico.
All right. But did you continue the ketamine program through the summer?
I did because it's what worked for me.
Okay. And so you would go back for sets when you needed them? And there were a lot of them at some points and none at others?
Right. It just depended on my condition.
Okay. Did you try other, with your folks, did you try other types of treatments?
Yes, so even though we established that the ketamine had worked for me, we learned about the hyperbaric chamber, so we gave that a shot.
And how is that supposed to work, if you know? If you don't know, it's okay, but
I really don't understand the whole thing, but I did try it.
But you were in a high oxygen environment for a while. Is that
it? That's all I know. I don't really know everything else.
Do you know why you wanted to, your folks, and you wanted to try something different than the ketamine infusions?
Well, they were always open to new therapies. They weren't just exclusively going to use ketamine. So when they heard about some success with the hyperbaric oxygen treatment, they gave it a go.
And did they want you to try things that did not involve a medication?
Yes.
And so what about IVIG, the immune system stimulant? Did you try that?
I did try that, yes.
Briefly. And did that do any good?
I don't have much recollection of it being like substantial, but I know that it did help me because I was willing to do it again.
Okay. Now, Maya, you were, as the record reflects, let's see. Yeah. I want to show how you were doing then in June and July of 2016. Now that we get into the summer, I published 2530-46.
Yeah, so here you could see my feet flat on the ground, which was a huge step for me. I was very proud of myself. I'm holding myself up with my upper body strength, and my dystonia is not present in this picture. I was really close to walking.
Okay. And were you looking forward to walking?
Yes. Yes.
Let's publish 2530-50. Was it important for you to be working your upper body here?
Yeah, so my goal was to strengthen my upper body enough to the point where I could hold myself up with a walker if my legs gave out at certain times, so I was still safe and would prevent injury. Even though it was painful, I pushed myself.
Okay. Now, continuing then through the summer, were you looking forward to getting out of that wheelchair?
Yes.
Tell the jury by August of 2016, did you believe you were going to be able to get out of that wheelchair?
By the fall, I truly believed it, and I wanted to go back to school, walking.
Now, did there come a time when you, all right, let's play 2659. Did your mom encourage you through these things? That's not it, is it? Let's continue, and then they'll get that straight. And it was your mom encouraging you on the walker, if we get to it. And my next question is, were your mom and dad encouraging you through this period of time to get better, get out of that wheelchair?
Always. They always were very positive around me.
So driving you to these different appointments and things, was that a pretty significant time commitment for them?
It was, and it was very difficult, but again, they wanted what was best for their children, and that included, you know, helping me with my treatments.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and we'll get back to that one video in a moment.
It's 2695.
All right. Then let's do 2695.
That's better. I love you. Now go down slowly.
Now what's the goal there with the legs?
Go down slowly. Good job.
Sorry, I did not hear your question.
Good job. Very good. Excellent.
Mr. Anderson, I apologize again. Can you please tell me the date of the video?
July 28th, 2016.
Thank you, sir.
All right. So the goal here by this point, the end of July, was that by the middle of fall, you were going to be out?
Oh, yes.
All right. And then did there come a time when you wanted to avoid going back to school in a wheelchair?
Yeah, I was the only kid in a wheelchair, so I didn't want to be that kid going back to school.
How are you going? What was Homeward Homebound?
So that's a program where the teachers will come to your house and actually give you instruction.
Okay. And did you like that? Did you like your teachers?
I love my teachers. I mean, the fact that they were willing to take time out of their day to come and teach me, it meant everything.
And could they work around your treatment schedules?
They did, yes.
What was your concern with going back to school insofar as your treatment schedules?
Well, I would be missing instruction. I probably would miss assignments and my grades would drop. And I really didn't want to jeopardize my education, so we tried a different route.
Okay. And did it trouble you quite a bit then that you were going to have to go back to school in your wheelchair?
Yes.
And what did that lead to?
It unfortunately led to a relapse.
All right. Well, this is your first relapse since Mexico?
Yes. Since
your first relapse ever, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you go back to Dr. Hanna to complete more of a ketamine infusion set?
Yes, I did. We went to him because it's less expensive compared to Kirkpatrick.
Okay. And through the course of this now, what were the symptoms that you were displaying insofar as your stomach? And remember, we talked about before the intestines and so forth. What was going on in this relapse? Or strike it. What had returned?
So with CRPS, it's pretty well known that it could affect some organs. And for me, it affected my large intestine. So I often got pretty constipated. It's because both, CRPS, it's an attack on the sympathetic nervous system, which also affects the digestive system. So I was pretty constipated regularly.
And from time to time, did you end up in an ER for the constipation that resulted?
Yes. When our remedies at home, like Miralax, didn't work, we were forced to go to the ER.
To get cleaned out first.
Correct.
But
yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's publish 2530-61. And for the record, this is October 6, 2016. How are you sleeping at this time, by the way? At home?
Wasn't sleeping very well at night, so I took the opportunity whenever I was tired to sleep. This is during one of my infusions at Dr. Hanna's, and I'm taking a nap.
Were these infusions painful for you by this point? Or
no, the infusions themselves were not painful.
That's Maya Kowalski giving very painful testimony about the most painful disease in the world, according to her. We'll have more from Maya and more from the courtroom as we continue our coverage on this case. My name is Tony Bruschi. Be sure to press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage. Stay with us.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.